Royal Queen Seeds Interviews.
Welcome to the Royal Queen Seeds Interviews. Today, we interview Jessie Gill, a cannabis nurse who teaches patients and consumers about cannabis. She's the founder of Marijuana Mummy, a digital research that reaches a vast audience every year. Jessie's expertise has been featured in several publications like Forbes, High Times, Good Housekeeping, Cosmopolitan, and Vice. Jessie is also the director at large for the American Cannabis Nurses Association and is on the Speakers Bureau for the Cannabis Nurses Network. She's also the founder of PrettyPipeShop.com. Welcome, Jessie. It's a pleasure to have you here today.
Oh, it's a pleasure to be here, Hazel. Thank you so much for having me.
How are you today?
Oh, I'm doing pretty good. How about you?
Oh, I'm very well. Thank you so much. So today we ask your expertise regarding a topic, which is cannabis and parenting. So first of all, I think right off the bat, how can we introduce the cannabis topic to our kids?
That's a great question. I hear it all the time. It's funny, you know, people are so nervous and scared about bringing it up with children.
Yeah.
I think, you know, one of the important things is to remember that the generation that's growing up right now is getting a very different, you know, experience and a lot of different information about cannabis than we did growing up.
Yeah.
So it tends to be really adults who are uncomfortable with it and not kids. But it is a very, very important topic to talk about. You know, I always tell parents, just like we talk about alcohol, just like we talk about sex, it's something we have to educate our children about, because if we don't do it, somebody else is going to do it.
Absolutely.
You know, I often tell people that, like, one of the best ways to start is just to, you know, depending on the age of the child, just to ask them, like, what do you know about cannabis? And, you know, then you can gauge on their information level, and you can kind of say, oh, that's inaccurate, or, you know, that's correct. You might be surprised at what they know.
Yeah.
But there's definitely age-appropriate ways to educate, you know, across the developmental spectrum. So, you know, even young kids, especially if somebody has it in the house, you know, parents can say, hey, that's mommy's medicine. You don't touch, you know,
yeah,
things like that, you know. But I think it's very, very important that parents really maintain an open line of communication and to be available for their children's questions, just like when it comes to sex or alcohol or gambling or all of the other, you know, hard topics that we have to teach our children about.
Yeah. And what do you think is the best time to do it? And what I mean is, do you think we should do it like on a random like day, or that we should treat it more like education, or if we catch them with it first as well?
I think everybody should talk to their kids before they ever have that opportunity to be caught with it. So if a child's at the point where they're, you know, getting it illegally and getting it on their own, then, you know, parents have really missed the window. You know, it's the same thing with sex. Like, if your kid's already having sex, you've really missed a lot of opportunities to teach, you know, to educate, to offer harm reduction. So it's, I think the earlier the better, you know, and it really depends on the individual's you know, exposure to cannabis.
Yeah.
So if somebody is a patient and they have cannabis in the house, you should teach about it right away. You know, I always remind parents that, like, here in New Jersey, in the US where I live, it's, you know, we start seeing propaganda based education still in our schools, and it starts in like second or third grade.
Yeah.
So for me, when I became a patient, my son was in third grade, and you know, I really thought and wondered, should I talk to him about it? Like, this was a new medication for me. And I didn't talk to him about any other medication. I tried many. So I wondered, why talk about cannabis? But then, you know, I really, really thought about it and said, they're going to learn false information in school. They're going to go to school, their health class, and they're going to tell them that marijuana is dangerous and deadly and all of these ridiculous things that have been scientifically proven to be untrue. And I really worried about the fear that my son might develop by hearing that information and knowing, you know, hey, wait, I saw my mom with this, or, you know, I saw this at home. So I made it a point to really educate my son. Like, here's my new medication, but here's what you need to know about it. You need to know that there's a lot of people in the world that don't understand it. It's a new medicine. Some people are really scared about it. I really had to prepare him that when you go to school, you're going to hear this false information, and I don't want you to be afraid. It's just because your teachers haven't been educated, and we're going to work to help change that.
Yeah, no, absolutely. And what do you think is the most valuable thing about cannabis that kids should learn from us and not from, you know, third parties?
I think, you know, there's a lot of things. There's the medicinal aspects of it, you know. Yeah. You know, a lot of kids, you know, and are just approaching it from a recreational standpoint.
Yeah.
So I think it is, you know, very important to teach that there are beneficial aspects, but I think also, you know, making points of harm reduction, especially as kids age, especially as they become exposed to it, you know, in their friend circles or in their communities. Like, you know, when I grew up, you didn't see many people smoking cannabis on TV. And if you did, it was like, oh my gosh, you know, they're smoking weed.
Yeah.
Nowadays, we have Elon Musk on TV. We have, you know, smoking. We have world leaders. We have, you know, sports, you know, incredible sports legends that are becoming involved in the cannabis industry that are talking about their own consumption. So kids are going to see it happen. So it's important to really do that harm reduction and really educate them. Like one thing that, you know, I especially point out to parents of older children is moderate consumption, just like we teach about alcohol. Like, you don't want to drink too much. You don't want to use too much cannabis. Like, you need to be conservative in your doses. The higher your dose, the more you consume, the more you're at risk for adverse reactions, the more you're at risk for experiencing side effects. So that is something that's very, very important to definitely go over with older kids so that they are prepared, you know. Yeah. Another thing that I always encourage parents to consider and teach about, the differences of cultivars and strains. You know, one person can have a very significant reaction one way to a cultivar, but that same cultivar might make another person, you know, develop anxiety. So they have to know that just because your friends are using this and seem okay or comfortable doesn't necessarily mean you're going to have the same exact experience. And you really need to be careful about how you approach it. And then, of course, you know, we have to consider that there are some circles and some people that are mixing other drugs in with their cannabis. You know, there's a whole bunch of names for like mixing cocaine in a joint or mixing heroin in a joint. And it's uncommon. But it's something that kids need to be aware of. And just like you don't take a drink, you know, at a bar from a stranger or at a party from a stranger, you need to be careful about what type of cannabis products you're consuming, because it can be laced with something. It can have something in it that you're not intending to consume.
Yeah, no, absolutely. And this is a little bit of a, you know, controversial question, but can, quote unquote, good parents use marijuana?
Oh, most definitely. And so many are, you know, I'm always shocked since I came out publicly with my consumption as a patient at who comes up to me and is like, oh my gosh, yeah, I smoke weed, you know, I smoke it all the time.
Yeah.
And it's shocking to see, but people are just scared to come forward. But you know, I've been doing this since 2015, and it's remarkable to see how many parents are now speaking up about cannabis usage and about their usage, and, you know, are identifying, hey, I'm a great mom. How come there can be weed mom? I mean, how come wine moms are perfectly acceptable and culturally, you know, exalted in some cases?
Yeah.
But I think we're slowly starting to see that change. You know, people are becoming more acceptive of the weed moms, the cannabis consumers that are parents.
Yeah.
It's always been a little bit skewed in acceptance for dads versus moms.
Yeah.
You know, dads smoking cannabis for some reason has been more accepted for a long time.
Yeah.
But we are finally starting to see that change. The more people that come forward and are, you know, forthright with their consumption, the more it really impacts all the people around them.
Yeah. And you obviously have a huge experience regarding this topic. So in your life as a cannabis nurse, do you think cannabis make a parent listless or like with low energy, that they somehow can interfere with how much energy they need to give to their kids?
In general, no. In general, absolutely not.
Yeah.
In general, it's, you know, in many ways, cannabis for the average consumer really boosts their wellness in a lot of different ways. It can improve sleep. It can decrease the stress levels. And that, you know, can really enhance and benefit parenting. A lot of parents say that, you know, cannabis helps them relate to their kids more. It makes it more enjoyable to play with them.
Yeah.
But I think it's also very, very important to talk about, you know, this is a substance that can alter, you know, your experience. This is a substance that there, you know, although it's less likely, it is potentially addictive for some people. So it's all about moderation, all about dosage control. Like if somebody is sitting there and smoking, you know, two joints and getting stoned out of their mind to where they're just going to sleep and, you know, not interact. Well, then that's a different, you know, a different experience. That's overuse. That's cannabis overuse. And it's just like alcohol. Like you can have a glass of wine at dinner with your kids and still be a great effective parent who's involved in your life. You can still help your kid with their homework. Same thing with cannabis. You can have some, you know, moderate doses and still be an exceptional, you know, effective parent. If you heavily overconsume, that's a whole nother topic.
Yeah. And this kind of intertwines with the next question, and is there a maximum amount of cannabis or a specific type, for example, medical cannabis, that fits better the good parent stereotype?
No, definitely not. And that's something that's misunderstood about cannabis therapeutics in general. A lot of people will say, you know, I'm only going to use medical marijuana. But what people don't really realize is medical marijuana is no different than recreational marijuana. It's the same plant. It's really about the intention and the, you know, the way you use it. Now, another thing people don't realize often is that, like I mentioned before, the different cultivars. So there can be a cultivar that, you know, makes one person energized and engaged with life. You could use the same amount of a different cultivar that makes you sleep. So it's really about the individually understanding the cultivar, using safe trial and error of small doses to really determine what works for them. And it's the same with methods of consumption. So how you consume cannabis can result in a very different physiological experience. So smoking cannabis compared to eating an edible can be two very, very different experiences. So patients really need to slowly experiment with the different methods of consumptions to see how it makes them feel.
Yeah, absolutely. And do you think it's wrong to pick up your kids from school smelling like cannabis?
I don't think it's wrong, but I think it can be detrimental in a variety of ways. Like we are still living in a missed prohibition. Now in a state that it's legal, you know, you're not going to necessarily get in trouble. Obviously in a state that it's illegal, you could lose custody of your kids. You could be arrested. So of course, in that condition, you know, as parents, we take every step we can to protect our children and to help our children and to make them more functional adults. You know, even among different communities, there's still a lot of people who are very, you know, stuck in that prohibitive mindset that still believe cannabis is bad. So, you know, if parents go to a school smelling like cannabis, it is possible to alienate, you know, their kids. So you need to really be upfront and aware and, you know, to be poised to educate, you know, especially if you are publicly consuming, you know, but you know, it's really, there are ways to avoid smelling like cannabis. And because there's so much judgment still associated with it, I do encourage patients to, you know, really take that into consideration.
Yeah, absolutely. And this is, again, tapping into your nursing expertise. And should we speak to our kids about family mental illnesses?
Yes, that is absolutely crucial. That is a really, really crucial part because, you know, it's very, very rare. But we do know from our research that there's a very, very tiny percentage of the population, a fraction of a percentage of the population, who are predisposed to mental illness disorders that feature psychosis, for example, schizophrenia. Yeah. Now, those are genetic predispositions. So if a person has a mental health history of schizophrenia, you know, they are really more at risk of experiencing psychosis when consuming THC. Yeah. And that's something that a lot of parents, you know, we don't talk about the mental illness. That's another topic that families keep secret. Like, I'm not going to tell you about your uncle who was, you know, treated for schizophrenia. We're not going to mention that, you know?
Yeah.
And it's so, so important because kids need to know that, like, hey, your friends might be smoking that joint and they might be totally fine, having fun and feeling relaxed, but you have a really strong family history. You might have this genetic predisposition to psychosis, and you might smoke that joint and you might experience a very traumatic episode of psychosis that hopefully will go away. But sometimes, you know, we don't really know. We don't have a lot of research on it. So definitely discussing family history of mental health is absolutely imperative. Kids need to know that they might be more at risk of their friends. And again, it's super, super rare. It doesn't affect most people. And there is genetic testing that people can do to see if they have this gene.
Yeah.
But it's definitely, definitely something that kids need to be aware of.
Yeah, no, absolutely. And as always, we let our audience know of our upcoming podcast episodes, and we ask them to give us questions to supply to you, our guest. And so I have a couple of questions for you here. And one is, it's kind of a double question. So the first is, can you give us some tips for teenager who wants to speak to their parents about cannabis, but their parents don't smoke weed? And do you have any tips, like as in proper tips, to speak to our kids if we do smoke weed?
Sure. So for teenagers, I mean, teenagers and adults alike, it's great. It's often ideal to start with that question to see where somebody's mindset is, to see what their education levels are. Like, what do you know about cannabis? Another approach that, you know, both teenagers and parents can take is to say, hey, I saw this in the news. What do you think about it? Whether it's a recent research report that talks about the benefits, or, you know, a celebrity getting involved in the cannabis industry, that's a great way to approach it. For both parents and kids who are, you know, initiating this conversation, it's really great to, you know, go into the conversation with data, with facts, you know, to get here, I learned this in this research, you know, this is, check this out, you know, to be able to present that either to the parents or to the older child, because that can really, really make a difference and influence people. Yeah. Now, especially for parents and even older people who are, you know, we tend to see more reluctance in our older communities and our older population, because they've been exposed to prohibition longer. So I work with a lot of families who are trying to convince, you know, their grandparents to try medical cannabis. And one great way of, you know, helping to influence people is to introduce them to somebody in their peer community who is consuming cannabis. So somebody that looks like them, somebody that does the same things as them, somebody their age, who is consuming cannabis publicly or teaching about it. That can really, really go a long way to influencing an individual. You know, especially the older people, they're like, oh, look, it's not just for kids. It's not something just teenagers are doing. Like, look, people your age are doing this as well.
Yeah, no, absolutely. And last question from our audience is, should we hide weed from our children in our home?
I don't think so. Well, okay, so that really depends on the individual's legal situation. So under no circumstances do I ever recommend children be informed or made aware of illegal activity. It's a huge burden. Like, I know some parents are like, oh, my kid's cool, I'm going to trust them with this, you know, that I'm a secret marijuana patient. It is unfair to the child. It can be potentially dangerous. Like, one, you know, that's a huge burden for a child to endure. And one little slip, one little confusion, you know, that can really, really dramatically impact the family, devastate the family. And that's a lifelong pain to live with for a child.
Yeah.
So, you know, in a legal situation, I don't ever think parents should talk to their kids about their personal illegal use, and they should go to all lengths to make sure that is, you know, something they can't discover, that they can't learn about. Now, however, in legal areas, which there are so many nowadays, I do not think parents should hide it. Because as I mentioned before, you know, your kids are learning about it and you don't know what they're learning about it. They might be afraid of it. You know, there's a good chance they had, you know, teachers in school who gave them false, damaging, scary information. And if they come across it, if they smell it, you know, they may get very, very afraid and they may not understand it. So for anybody in a legal area who is consuming, I think parents should go out of their way to educate. And, you know, personally, I lock up my cannabis. You know, it's a smart move. Like, I don't want to worry about it. I don't fear my kids taking it, but you know, if their friends are over, I don't want to worry about it being out. It gives me peace of mind. And I strongly, strongly recommend that for alcohol as well, for alcohol and for prescription pills. Like yeah. Most people do not lock up those things, and those things can be potentially deadly. So I think there are many, many ways to approach it, to approach this, you know, responsibly and teach about it. But it really depends on the individual's, you know, location and the legality surrounding it.
Yeah, absolutely. Thank you so much, Jessie. And this is one last question from us. It's, do you think we should implement cannabis and perhaps other recreational drugs in the school curriculum so that our kids can learn about it from reliable sources?
Oh, well, you know, here in New Jersey and I know in many other areas, we are teaching about cannabis and other drugs, and we are teaching such irresponsible, inaccurate information, and it's harmful. Yeah. You know, right now here in New Jersey, our DARE program, which is our drug and education program, is still teaching that cannabis is the equivalent of heroin. And kids see people using it. They know yeah. It's not true. Yeah. And that can be very, very harmful because, you know, they make loose assumptions. So a kid says, okay, you told me weed was bad. I see Elon Musk smoking it. He's fine. Yeah. He's a billionaire. Yeah. So obviously you're lying. But the real challenge is when they make that loose association to the other drugs that we've talked about. Okay, you told me heroin was bad. Well, you lied to me about weed. How bad is it? Yeah. And unfortunately, that has happened to people where they're like, they just think it's all lies. So I think it absolutely should be taught in schools, but we need to teach fact-based information. And we're a long way from that. You know, even in our health classes, even in our science classes, our books are outdated. And most importantly, our educators are severely miseducated on the topic. So they have been trained to give false information. And I think that is something we absolutely need to address. But I think it's something that's going to happen way down the road. And I think parents really need to take up the slack, you know, in the meantime and say, hey, look, what you're learning here, it's not accurate. Here's the real deal.
Yeah, no, absolutely. Well, thank you so much, Jessie. That was the last question from us. And again, thank you for your expertise. You have, obviously, you have a very special role in the cannabis industry, I think, because it's not every day that you can talk about cannabis and parenting. I think it's a very important topic. So thank you so much for bringing that to us today. I hope you had a nice time. This was a lovely interview. And yeah, I hope to speak to you soon.
It's been a pleasure, Hazel. Thank you so much for having me.
No worries. Thank you. Bye, Jessie.
Bye-bye.
Thank you for tuning in on another episode of the Royal Queen Seed Interviews. You can find all other episodes on Spotify and Apple Podcasts. You can also find us on all social media at Royal Queen Seed RQS. Thank you, and we'll see you next time.
Royal Queen Seeds Interviews.